Has it ever felt like you're doing everything right? You're eating healthy, you're working out, and yet your energy still crashes, or your mood swings hit out of nowhere, like a twist in a crime story that you didn't see coming. Listen, I've been there too, and what I've discovered is that many of these issues could be tied to hormonal imbalances, like a hidden criminal lurking in the background, throwing everything off track. But here's the good news. This is one mystery that you can solve with Happy Mammoth. There's no need for a long investigation. Just take the free 2-minute quiz from Happy Mammoth. You answer a few questions about what you're experiencing and where you're at in life, and you'll uncover the real culprit behind your hormonal symptoms. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help you balance your hormones so you can finally feel like yourself again. According to a survey, after taking Hormone Harmony, 86% of women started to lose weight. 77% said that it improved their mood. And the biggest benefit? 100% of women surveyed said they're feeling like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ATTWG at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ATTWG for 15% off today. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you wish to ask. And then she can either type a response or use their voice-to-text feature, and mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy. It's something that you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. And this is something that Ethan and I had been thinking about doing with our parents. We have this podcasting equipment, so we wanted to find a way for them to tell their story. But I love this because it's so regimented. They send them a question every week, and it just makes it really easy and turnkey. And it just seems like a great way for us to get our parents' stories down so that our children and our children's children can have them. So if you're interested, check out mylifeinabook.com and use code ATTWG at checkout for 15% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code ATTWG for 15% off today.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On December 30th, 2019, a young artist went to a tea shop and boarded a city bus back home. It was a perfectly normal day for her and a perfectly normal activity. But 22-year-old Toni Turner never made it back to her home in Hazelwood, Pennsylvania. Shortly after she was last seen, her belongings were found on the pedestrian walkway of a bridge. Did this bright, vibrant young woman decide to take her own life? Or was she the victim of foul play? Toni's family and community have not stopped searching for answers in this case that they feel has not gotten nearly enough attention. When a person goes missing, there's a special kind of pain in the not knowing. I want to tell you the stories of those who never came home. Today, I want to tell you the story of Toni Turner. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone.
Thank you.
back, everyone.
Welcome back.
Last week, I told you that we'd be doing some shorter episodes on underreported cases, and then I proceeded to write yet another long episode. Yeah, so the story of Rachel Good that we released last week was almost an hour long, but Ethan is leaving town in less than 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So this for 2 weeks. So we're going to have to figure things out. So this truly will be a short one because unfortunately there haven't been many updates in the 2.5 years since Tony Turner went missing. This is another case of a missing person of color that has gone underreported. And it is in Ethan's hometown of Pittsburgh.
And yeah, very close to where I grew up.
Yeah, exactly. So I figured this would be the perfect time to help amplify Tony's story. While I was writing this, I didn't tell you anything about it, but I was constantly asking you questions about locations and, you know, where everything was to kind of get the geographical perspective on that. So, you know, you can help explain that too as we go along so people can visualize where all of this happened.
All right.
But first, we have a few quick shout outs to people who have joined us on Patreon. Thank you so much to Rochelle from Canada and Courtney F. If you'd like to get these episodes early and get rid of all of the GD ads that some of you have complained about, you can do so for as little as $2 a month over on patreon.com/attwgpod. But now let's get into the story of Tony Turner. Tony Turner is someone who is known and loved by an entire community. I don't have a lot of biographical information about her, but I do know that she was born on June 10th, 1997 to Darlene Johnson and was raised in the Hazelwood area of Pittsburgh. She has a younger sister named Sydney with whom she was very close. They were only about a year apart. They, you know, really grew up together. Sydney apparently lives with their mother and grandmother while Tony lived on her own. Sydney has said that in addition to being sisters, they were also friends and spoke several times a week. They also hung out in a lot of the same circles. In 2019, Tony was a full-time metal fabricator at Studebaker Metals in Braddock, which is another neighborhood in Pittsburgh. And that's actually, I think, where her sister and mom and grandmother live currently. She was also a ceramics teacher at the Carnegie Library of Braddock. Since her social and work life was centered in a small area of Pittsburgh, Tony didn't bother having a car, instead relying on public transportation to get around the city. She also liked to walk a lot.
I'd just like to thank you for pronouncing Carnegie correctly.
You and I have been together for like 8 years or something. Like, I know how to pronounce Carnegie by now.
Everybody outside of Pittsburgh pronounces it Carnegie.
I know, because it's the Carnegie Deli.
It's Carnegie.
Yes, I'm aware. Tony was also known around town for being an amazing dancer, both formally and informally. She was studying both flamenco and Kathak, which is like a Bollywood-style Indian dance. But informally, she also just loved going to concerts and dancing. Her friend Akela Bennett told reporters, quote, "If you've gone to concerts in Pittsburgh, you've probably seen Tony in front dancing her little heart away. Whether she was alone or with friends, that didn't matter to her when it came to dancing," end quote. In fact, that's how Tony and Akela met. Akela knew Sydney, Tony's sister, and that's who introduced them. Akela said, quote, "She danced over to me and gave me a big hug, and I knew her soul was beautiful at that moment that I met her," end quote. Monday, December 30th, 2019 was seemingly an ordinary day in Tony's life. She went to work in Braddock and then stopped into Dober Tea on Murray Avenue in Squirrel Hill. I know, I can see you like searching your brain because Squirrel Hill is where you grew up, but I'm sure that it did not exist at the time.
Dober Tea?
Dobra Tea. D-O-B-R-A.
Yeah, no, that definitely wasn't there.
Yeah.
I wonder what part of Squirrel Hill it was in.
Murray Avenue? I don't know.
Doesn't narrow it down.
Tony was apparently a regular there, so an employee does remember seeing her that evening and said that Tony came in and had tea but didn't stay for very long. She then got on a bus toward her home in Hazelwood. The bus driver has confirmed that she got off at her normal stop at Gidding Street. Now, during this time, Tony was still in contact with her friends and family, though I don't have any specifics on that. Like, I don't know exactly who she was talking to or if it was texting, Facebook Messenger, phone calls, anything like that. But all of the communication was seemingly normal. Like, there was nothing that stood out to anybody. But authorities have said that by 6 p.m., she may have been in the homestead area, which I assume they've gotten via cell phone location data. But that timing is a little fuzzy because it was also reported that she was seen at Dobra Tea around 6, and that's on the other side of the bridge.
So, I'm sorry, when was she reported to be in Homestead?
Around 6. So
around the same time?
Yeah, around the same time. So, I mean, I just don't know which one was actually 6 o'clock. I would guess Homestead because, like I said, I do think that's based on cell phone location data, but that has not been clarified.
So Homestead and Squirrel Hill are pretty close to each other. So, I mean, if you're talking about hopping on a bus, it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, depending on traffic. But obviously, you know, cell phone location data is more accurate time-wise
right.
than just an open window.
Right. And so Squirrel Hill, Braddock, and Hazelwood are all on the same side of the Homestead Grays Bridge. And then Homestead is the other side.
Correct.
Yeah.
Across the Monongahela River.
Right. So from what we know, Sydney did not travel to Homestead by bus because she got off in Hazelwood where she lives.
Okay.
But according to police, she may have ended up on the other side of the bridge in Homestead. Her sister Sydney has said that while it's not impossible that Tony would have walked across the bridge to Homestead, she didn't think it was likely because where all of the stores are, like she mentioned a Wendy's and a CVS, she said that there aren't sidewalks, so it's not super accessible for Tony to get from like where she lived to the bridge to cross over it. You're looking up the walking route, and I did actually look at that online. It would be like a 50-minute walk.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. It would take you down Browns Hill Road, which is the road that leads to the bridge. And that is a very busy street.
Right.
Now, there is a walkway, a pedestrian walkway, on the bridge, like
Correct.
You mentioned.
Yeah.
But in between her house and Browns Hill Road, I don't know. I mean, it takes you through neighborhoods, but there might not be sidewalks on all of those streets.
And that sounds like what Sydney's saying. So Sydney's like, okay, I mean, she did like to walk, but that doesn't really make sense. For somebody who's so comfortable with the public transportation system, like, why would you make that walk?
Right. Why would you make a 50-minute walk across a bridge in December in Pittsburgh?
Right. I wasn't even thinking about the fact that it was December 30th. Like, yeah, I mean, that's not pleasant.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, December in Pittsburgh is very cold.
Yeah. So we don't know how Tony presumably got on the bridge or got over to Homestead. Or if she even really did. I mean, we don't 100% know that Tony herself
right.
was
we
in
know
Homestead.
Her cell phone right. was in Homestead.
Exactly. But Tony has not been seen. There are no witnesses that say that Tony was ever in Homestead. But what we do know is that sometime in between the hours of about 6 p.m. and about 8:30 p.m. on December 30th, Tony went missing. Now, I've gotten that 8:30 time from interviews that Sydney has given, and it seems as though that came from the time that many of Tony's belongings were found. On the evening of December 30th, a young cyclist was riding his bike on the pedestrian walkway of the Homestead Grays Bridge when he spotted a backpack. He reportedly gave the backpack to his father, who must have gone through it to figure out who it belonged to. Because the next morning, just after 11 a.m., he contacted Tony's aunt and told her that he had Tony's backpack. The article then says that the aunt received it around 11:45 p.m., but I would have to assume that it was actually 11:45 a.m. because it seems weird that 12 hours would go by.
Right.
So in any case, they did get it that day. And what was in the backpack was extremely concerning. Inside were Tony's cell phone, diary, keys, shoes, and a ceramic item. According to her sister Sydney, like the family didn't immediately panic when this stuff was found. She told the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, quote, Tony loses her phone frequently, but we started to understand that she was a missing person around 8 p.m., end quote. This was presumably around the time that they also found out that she had never shown up for work that day. So Tony's disappearance was reported to police that evening on December 31st. By Wednesday, the next day, police had put out a missing person alert. By Thursday, they were interviewing people at Dobra Tea and were trying to piece together a timeline, along with trying to get an idea of Tony's state of mind that day. You know, when you find a backpack with a cell phone and keys and shoes.
Shoes.
On a bridge.
Yeah, that the shoes in the backpack really rung out to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not, again, December in Pittsburgh. Maybe she was wearing another set of pair of shoes, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, that could have been an extra pair of shoes that she just kept in her backpack.
We would hope.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, we just don't know. But obviously, that points to a very specific conclusion that Tony decided to take her own life on that bridge. There was also the diary that was in the backpack. And I know for our British listeners, diary can sometimes mean like a schedule or a planner. In this case, that is not what this is. It's, you know, a journal, basically. Sydney told KDKA, Pittsburgh CBS affiliate, quote, "We did look at the diary, wanted to see if there was anything suspicious, and it was talking about her being sad, kind of ended on that. On top of that, there was a ceramic thing, and that's not too crazy because she's a ceramicist, but it's also odd that it was just there and her shoes were there," end quote. So again, all of the things that were found plus the diary thing that she was sad. But Tony's family didn't seem to think that she would have taken her own life. On January 1st, so again, just 2 days after her disappearance, Sydney posted on Facebook, quote, "We do not trust anyone she is traveling with. Friends in other states, I need your help the most right now. Friends in Ohio, Utah, Nevada, anything near Route I-80, please look for my sister," end quote.
Where did she get that? Like,
I have no idea. And that's what people have been wondering too, especially because I-80 is nowhere near Pittsburgh.
Right.
It's a solid 60 miles away from where she was last seen. Yet several news reports have said that she could have been traveling on I-80 near Homestead, which again, does not exist.
Right.
So the news reports have said I-80 near Homestead, which is not a place that exists in the world. But her sister has said that they think she might have been traveling on I-80. But like, she's never said why they've thought that, where that came from, or anything. In the first days after Tony's disappearance, her family and friends searched around the river, the bridge, and put flyers up all over the area. It was during this time that they received a tip that Tony may have been seen around the Hill District, specifically Linton Street. And so real quick, like, talk about the Hill District and talk about the history versus what it was like in 2019, because I know that we've talked about this, and when you were growing up, it was a very different place.
So how deep into the history of the Hill District do you want me to go? No, I mean,
very, very.
You want me to talk about the jazz era in the Hill District?
No, I do not.
So when I grew up in Pittsburgh, the Hill District was not a good area to be in.
A lot of crime, a lot of drugs, right?
Yes, lots of crime, lots of drugs. It, I believe, has since seen a resurgence. I don't know if it's gentrification or if it's just that the Penguins put in a new stadium. The name is now...
Oh, PNC.
No, that's the Pirates.
No, it's PPG.
PPG Paints Arena, right.
Okay, so PPG Paints Arena is in the Hill District?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so we have been there. No, and it seems very nice, at least around the stadium.
Yeah, it was not when I was growing up there.
Right.
But it's important to note that from Homestead, Hazelwood to the Hill District is not walkable.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it's probably 20 to 30 minutes driving wise.
And so that's why it was confusing for Sydney as well. After they got this tip, they went over to the Hill District to follow up and they dropped off flyers, but it didn't make sense to her. She said, quote, "For her to be in the Hill District, totally out of character. I don't even think the buses are awesome here for her. There would be nothing here for Tony. And I know that," end quote.
I mean, unless there was a concert at
PPG Paints, yeah.
Yeah, at the arena.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it would seem very spontaneous and random that she would end up there.
Right, and that's what it seemed like. But just days later, the body of a woman was found in that very area, less than a half a mile away from where this tip was. Are you ready to lose weight? With Effecty, getting access to powerful GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, the same active ingredient as the popular name brands, but for up to 80% less. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. Getting started is so simple. Just fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. Effecty gave me the opportunity to try their service out, and I have to say, it is just as easy as they say it is. I filled out the questionnaire, and within days, a package arrived at my door filled with everything I needed and detailed instructions. Their website also tells you everything you need to know, and you can always chat with your healthcare provider. It really is that simple and convenient. So if you're ready to level up your weight loss game, my listeners can now get $50 off of GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code ATTWG at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com, and use the code ATTWG to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatment. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. So get started today. Remember when I talked about True Diagnostics True Age Test? Well, I took it myself and the results blew my mind. I was very wrong. If you remember, I was worried about my brain and not my cardiovascular health. And it turns out my brain's fine, but my cardiovascular health needs work. But luckily, my biological age was really right on track with my actual age, which is good because research shows that if your biological age is even just 5 years older than your actual age, your risk of developing diseases like cancer or heart disease can jump by as much as 30 to 50%. That's a big deal, and it's completely avoidable. The good news is nearly 90% of biological aging is in your hands. It's driven by things like your lifestyle, your habits, and the environment you're in, which means that you have a lot of control over it. The TrueAge test didn't just give me a number. It showed how quickly my heart, brain, liver, and immune system are aging, and it was eye-opening. And I will say, I definitely picked up the workouts after I learned that my cardiovascular health isn't as good as I thought it was. The test itself was super easy and convenient. I did it from home, and it was just a quick, painless finger prick that I made Ethan do because I was too scared. You send it off in a tiny sample in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get a detailed online report about your aging and health. So if you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use my code ATTWG to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com and use ATTWG at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. We sleep better when we sleep cool. As the weather is getting warmer, staying cool while we sleep will be top of mind. Organic and natural bedding sleeps cooler than cheaper synthetic alternatives, and they last longer too. A fresh season calls for a fresh start, and that includes your bed. From seriously soft organic cotton sheets to breathable silk and luxurious down duvets, Avocado Green's bedding makes it easy to reset your space sustainably. Perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months, Avocado Green sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable and help regulate temperature, so you sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. Avocado bedding is thoughtfully designed and expertly crafted for lasting durability. From reinforced stitching to premium long staple organic fibers, every detail is made to stand the test of time, wash after wash, season after season. We sleep better when we sleep cool, so head to avocadomattress.com today to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. and the styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. So I've been using Armoire, and I'm actually wearing one of their shirts right now as I'm recording this, and it's a great idea. You don't have to commit to buying the clothes, but you can really start to explore your own personal style. Like if there's a trend or something that you've been wanting to maybe try but not commit to, this is absolutely perfect. Because if you don't like it, you just put it back in the bag and get something else. Because we've all been there. You open your closet, and even though it's packed, you feel like you have nothing to wear. And with Armoire, that's a thing of the past. They make it effortless for all women to turn heads with stylish everyday looks. You can rent high-quality designer clothing for any occasion, and it's all tailored to your personal style. Plus, you don't have to do laundry, and you don't have to go shopping. It truly could not be any easier. And right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month, which is up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/ATTWG. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/ATTWG to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Tony's loved ones had to have been terrified at this point. A tip had led them to this random part of the city that, you know, Tony never really went to, and then a body was found just days later on January 8th. They had to wait 2 agonizing days to find out if the body that was found outside of an abandoned home was, in fact, Tony's. But on January 10th, Pittsburgh police announced that it wasn't Tony, but instead 49-year-old Dana Jaffe. So at this point, you know, a week after her disappearance, the community didn't really know what to think. You know, Tony wasn't the type of person who would just take off and go on an adventure. And Sydney pointed out at one point, she's like, and even if she would, like, she wouldn't have left all of her stuff behind, you know?
Right.
She wasn't that type of person. Though the only physical evidence points to Tony dying by suicide, it doesn't seem like the people in her life thought that that was a possibility. They held a vigil for her on January 4th and prayed for her safe return. On January 6th, Sydney went on KDKA radio and said, quote, Tony has touched so many lives that people are so passionate to continue to find her and the belief that Tony is going to come home, end quote. 2 weeks after Tony's disappearance, Sydney hosted a vigil and dance meditation at the Glitterbox Theater. As the weeks turned into months, Sydney's family and friends worked to keep her name out there, even as the investigation into her disappearance petered out. In September of 2020, about 9 months after she was last seen, one of Tony's friends, Marseille Nixon Washington, and muralist Sandy Kessler Kaminsky installed a beautiful mural of her on Braddock Avenue. It has a painting of Tony along with her birth date, June 10th, 1997, and the date she disappeared, as well as a quote that reads, quote, "The missing find solace in our hearts until they are found," end quote. Marseille, who taught with Sydney at the Braddock Carnegie Library, told the Pittsburgh City Paper, quote, "The grief manifested into an irresistible fire inside of me to find her in whatever way she returns," end quote. And she said she didn't understand why her friend was still missing 9 months later, saying, quote, "Things became silent and all I wanted to do is scream her name on every street, in every ear, in every neighborhood, in every city, in every country," end quote. Now, interestingly, Marseille did give some new information in this interview that I had not seen reported anywhere else. So this is not officially confirmed by any means. But Marseille said that in addition to her backpack being found on the bridge the night she disappeared, her wallet was, quote, "mysteriously found underneath a missing persons poster about a week or two after she went missing," end quote.
Where?
She didn't say. She just said that under one of her posters.
Huh.
Yeah, and she says that several reports had stated that the wallet was found in the backpack, which is interesting because as I kind of went through articles, I've noticed that some of the later articles have stated that, but the contemporaneous ones, the ones that were published in the first
couple of days after her disappearance did not have the wallet being in the backpack. And even a quote by Sydney where she talks about what was found in the backpack, she does not say wallet. But I saw, like I said, a few, like there was a video that said that her wallet, phone, et cetera, were all in the backpack. So I don't think the wallet was in the backpack.
So you think there might be some truth to the wallet being found somewhere else later?
Yeah, I think that it absolutely could be the case. So if her wallet was in fact found a week or two after her disappearance and not on the bridge, to me, that certainly points to something more nefarious happening to Tony.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, that's terrifying. Mercier also called for her friend's disappearance to be investigated more thoroughly, saying, quote, "I am hoping that all parties will be properly questioned and re-questioned," end quote. She also wants updated information about Tony's last known whereabouts to reach the public and for anyone who, quote, "think they may have seen her or know of her whereabouts after," end quote, to say something. Because again, it does seem like there was a lot of local news coverage on this, but, and this doesn't, you know, I didn't really go into this when I was writing it, but one of the sources that I read was basically about how Tony was another woman of color who went missing and was failed by media and police. And what they talked about was the idea that we spoke about a lot in the Alexis Patterson case, where oftentimes the news coverage of these stories are informed by the police. The police gives validity to the case when they basically talk about it, you know, and if it's valid, that's when it's reported on more. So like I said, it was reported on a lot, but the police in this case, the Pittsburgh police, have said basically nothing about the investigation, about Tony, about anything. There are some, you know, like, we need the public's help. Early on, they did question people in the first couple of days, but no news conferences, no further updates, you know, as the case got colder and colder. They did the initial investigation, and then there was basically nothing. And so the only reason that there's even local news coverage after the first week of her disappearance is because her friends and family kept on holding these events to get her name out there. You know, they would have the vigils, they would have the dance parties, they would have marches, they had, you know, art shows, everything to keep Tony's name out there. And so people were reporting on those events, but we know nothing more about the investigation because Pittsburgh police have said nothing more about the investigation.
Well, it seems to me that my friends in Pittsburgh who are listening to this need to start reaching out to the police and put pressure on them.
Yeah. Right. And that's,
at the very least, just to release some sort of timeline. So, I mean, obviously, if they're suspecting some foul play in this, you know, they're not going to release all of the details, but just something more.
Right. And we need a better timeline. And one of the very first articles that I read was that they were talking to the people at Dober Tea specifically to put a timeline together. However, none of that's been released because we have them saying she's in Homestead at 6 o'clock, but also reports saying that she was at Dober Tea and Squirrel Hill at 6 o'clock. You can't be in both places at once.
Right.
So what is the actual timeline? Where was she before that? Was she at work all day? Like, how long did she work? Which job? Like,
right.
You know, I mean, none of that has been released by the police. You know, we know that they interviewed the bus driver on her normal bus route. He does say that he saw her. Did they interview other bus drivers? You know, maybe bus drivers that went on the route to Homestead.
Right.
Did she take a bus over there? Because like we were talking about, her walking there doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Right.
So was there another bus? I mean, these are all things that would help with people who might have seen something. Like, it would help jog their memory.
Right. Did they go into Homestead and canvass the shops in Homestead?
Right. Did they pull any surveillance video from anywhere? I mean, it doesn't sound like there are any surveillance cameras on the bridge itself. But those stores, I mean, if there were plenty of stores on either side of the bridge, they would have had to have cameras.
For those that don't know, immediately across the Homestead High Level Bridge, also known as the Homestead Grays Bridge, there's a whole giant shopping area called the Waterfront. There's a movie theater, there's all of these restaurants and shops, and that was built when I was still living there. And it was a huge attraction because it was a lot of new restaurants. There's like a piano bar down there, so it has a vibrant nightlife in that area. Did the police go over there and start questioning any of these businesses if they had seen her?
Right. You know, and if there was a piano bar there, like she loved music, she loved dancing, right. Like maybe
she went there.
That's where she was heading. Like, we don't know. I mean, the very basic evidence points that she jumped off the bridge, but we don't know, again, if she was ever in Homestead or if she was ever on the bridge, just that her belongings were, like we said earlier, right? She could have just as easily have gone to Homestead, met somebody.
Right.
Something happened and they dumped her stuff on the bridge.
Right.
We have no idea.
Yeah.
It also bears mentioning that neither her body nor any of her clothing has been found. Granted, the Monongahela River is huge, stretching into both West Virginia and Ohio, I believe. And while not every person who dies in that river is found, a quick Google search that I did turned up at least 4 bodies that have been recovered in the 2 years since her disappearance. But on the other hand, there was also an entire B-25 bomber that crashed in the river near the Homestead Grays Bridge in 1956 that has allegedly never been recovered.
Yep.
And that's a whole other mystery that I think should be covered by one of our other dark cast podcasts, like Autumn's Oddities. I think that would be good for her. I'll have to send it to her because that's like a whole conspiracy theory mystery thing, because people, I say allegedly, has never been recovered because some people believe that the military did secretly remove it. Whatever. That's not at all something we need to get into right now. The point is that her body has not been recovered from the river. And while that doesn't 100% mean that she's not there, several other people have been since then. And that's the problem I have with Tony's case. One of the problems, in all of the articles that I was able to find, I could not find a single source that said Pittsburgh police searched the river. Mm. I found stories of her family and friends searching around the river and the bridge, but not any that said that the river itself was searched.
Right. So are they treating it as an open investigation into a missing person, or are they treating it as a potential suicide? And if so, then yeah, why wouldn't they search the river?
Right. I mean, if they believe that one way or another she went off the bridge, I mean, wouldn't you still want to recover a body?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh police still classify this as an open investigation, but I'm not confident that they've put enough resources into it. So like you already said, maybe that's what we do. We put pressure on the Pittsburgh police to search the river for Tony.
Or at the very least, just to give more information.
Yeah.
On timelines.
If they do have an actual timeline details. To put it out, there's nothing.
It's not going to harm an investigation unless you have something specific in that investigation that points to somebody.
Right. So leave that part out. But there is plenty of other information that can potentially be released. But back to the river, you know, there's also Adventures with a Purpose, the volunteer group who searches for missing people and cars in bodies of water. They have solved 23 cold cases since 2019. Mm. Yeah, they're an amazing organization. They provide this as a completely free service to families. And basically, they are powered by donations. They do YouTube videos. You know, they use the ad revenue from that. They sell merch, all kinds of stuff. So it's completely free. And they have found, like I said, 23 people. Either way, the reason why we're bringing you this episode is because Tony's case absolutely needs to be amplified. The search needs to be more intense. More information needs to be public, not just the same like 3 facts rehashed over and over again. As her sister Sydney said, quote, Toni is a human being and she deserves justice, and she deserves the dignity that all human beings deserve as soon as they're born. If you have information on my sister Toni and you know where she is or anything that could bring her story or her to light, you should stop withholding that so you can have a lighter life and allow Toni to regain the human dignity she deserves so she doesn't have to continue being missing. End quote. Toni Turner is a Black female with wavy shoulder-length hair that she sometimes wears in a wrap. At the time of her disappearance, she was 5'2" and 130 pounds. She has a nose piercing and a lip ray piercing. Toni was 22 years old when she went missing. She would be 25 today. If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Toni Turner, please contact the Pittsburgh Bureau of Police at 412-323-7800. If you're not comfortable speaking with the police, you can also give an anonymous tip to a non-police line by texting 412-689-2812. You can see all the sources for this episode along with photos and videos at our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social, And Then They Were Gone Pod on Facebook and at ATTWG Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It will help new listeners find us. And the more people that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we'll see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Kona Gallagher and Ethan Flick. All research, writing, and editing is done by Kona Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketza. Additional music is provided by Kai Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.
Hey, you can do it!
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12-powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.